Hear God's word. Acts 17, verse 22, so Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious, for as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods in the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said. Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of men. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Now when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, but others said, 'We will hear you again about this.' So Paul went out from their midst. But some men joined him and believed, among whom also were Dionysius the Areopagite and a woman named Damaris and others with them." This is God's holy, infallible, and eternal word. Beloved in the Lord, if we confess that God is the Father Almighty, we cannot admit another power beside him. There is no other alternative. Either God is Lord, or someone else or something else is. Satan, man himself, evil, fate, or what have you. To believe in God the Father Almighty comes the confession of trusting that he is sovereign and that Jesus Christ is Lord. Paul speaks to the men in Athens, and he speaks to them of the God they did not know. And what you can say about his address to the people in Athens could be summarized in the words of that hymn that says he's got the whole world in his hands. He has the world in his hands. That was the message of evangelism that Paul used for this crowd at Mars Hill. There in Athens, there was a blending of superstitious idolatry, enlightened philosophy. They had all kinds of gods and all kinds of things for all of the gods, including the one that they didn't know anything about. You know, I guess they were almost Dutch. You know, they didn't want to miss anything. So all of this enlightened philosophy and superstitious idolatry existed, but they didn't know the one true living God. And where does Paul begin his message with these Athenians? He begins right there. The God that you do not know, he has got the whole world in his hands. The unknown God, he says, is the one that I am going to proclaim to you. They acknowledge their ignorance of his divine nature, but Paul would now tell them the truth about it from the word of God. And that's what we see in his address to the Athenians. He tells them that God is the Lord of all creation, and he begins there in verse 24 by telling us that. Look at verse 24, the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man. He's the Lord of creation, the sovereign creator of it all. Now, the Athenians were religious. They believed in gods. They had a multiplicity of gods, like many people today. They worship the plurality of gods. And we have the same thing today. Today, people have a plurality of gods, usually the gods of pleasure and the gods of self. And these Athenians believed in a plurality of gods, but Paul says there is but one true and living God. And he addresses their ignorance of God's sovereignty over all things, their ignorance of God's being, who he is. And here in this passage, he tells them that God is the one who created all things. He's not a prisoner of creation. He is the creator. He's not an impersonal abstract. He is not contained by humanly constructed sanctuaries or temples. God does not depend upon any people's worship. He is the sovereign over all. And Paul tells the Athenians that this is the truth, that God is the creator and the ruler over all things. The view of the world that he proclaimed was different from the Epicurean emphasis on the chance combination of atoms. That was one of the things that was taught in that day, or the pantheism of the Stoics, who saw God in creation itself. Instead, God is the personal creator of everything that exists, the personal Lord of everything that has been made. And it is absurd then to suppose that the one who made and supervises these things lives in buildings that people have built. You can't localize God. You can't make him fit into your particular view of things, imprison him in man-made buildings or structures. That's ludicrous, Paul says. He is the sovereign Lord over all. And he is the Lord over all of the nations. He goes on, and in verse 25, he says that he is not served by human, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. Do you see what he says here? God isn't served by human hands as though he needed something. He doesn't depend on us. He is the one that gives life and breath to everything. What's life and breath? Well, without it, you're not. You're not here. God gives you life and breath. He gives you everything that you need. He doesn't depend on his creatures. His creatures depend upon him. He is sovereign over all things, and he supplies the needs for his creation. Life, breath, everything. He is Lord. No attempt to reduce God will be successful. People don't want to hear about God. People don't want to hear about God's word. Today, people don't want to hear about God's word when it comes to marriage. They don't want to hear about God's word when it comes to pregnancy, because if a woman is pregnant, it's up to her whether or not she wants to stay pregnant or have an abortion. No one wants to hear that God's word says that you may not do those things. They try to put God in a place that will not bother them, but God is the God who is the one who is over all things, and he's involved in humanity. And even though people do not want God in their lives, God is still the one who gives life and breath, the substance of life itself, to all things. Now, the Epicureans in the day of Paul were wrong to believe that God was not involved with humanity. He is the one who gives life. He is the one who gives life and breath, as he says here. Isaiah says it as well. God is the one who is in charge of all things. He sustains all life. And he is also the ruler over nations, as you see in verse 26. He made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and boundaries of their dwelling place that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, yet he is actually not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. He is the Lord of the nations, the creator of the human race from one man. Who is that? That's Adam. God created the human race, and he made a home for the human race, this creation that he has made for us. And he has determined the nations and set aside the nations, and he supplies their needs, and he rules over all of them, and he governs them by his eternal purposes, so that everything that exists serves the purpose of God that he has determined. In the Catechism, it says that in God's providence, let me quote these words, the almighty and ever-present power of God, by which he upholds with his hand heaven and earth and all creatures, and he rules them so that, and then listen to this, leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and lean years, food and drink, health and sickness, prosperity and property, all things, in fact, come to us not by chance, but they come from his fatherly hand. You see, he is the Lord over all of history and over the nations. And from his fatherly hand, he gives us all of the blessings that we receive. Leaf and blade, speaking of the grass and so on, of the field. From the fragrance of a flower to the glow of the moon to the crawling of a worm. God's the one who's directed it. He's in control of it. He governs the movements, the motions of all creatures. He is sovereign in all things. Notice it says, by his hand. Everything is providential. Nothing occurs by chaos. All things occur by God's order under his control. So whether it's a swarm of bees, lions roaming in the forest, who's in charge? God's in charge. God's in control, even to the thoughts and the imaginations of the hearts of humanity. And he is also the Lord of our salvation, the one who rules over the course of history and determines salvation for his elect people through Jesus Christ the Lord. He rules over all things. He charts the course of history. He unfolds it, and he makes things work for his purpose. That's why we have to say that evolutionary theory is absolutely, completely false. Because evolutionary theory suggests that we advance towards perfection by self-achievement. Evolutionary theory ignores the fall into sin and the consequences of sin. But God's purpose is the purpose that's going to be realized, because God is unfolding his sovereign purpose, not a kingdom on earth, but a development of the kingdom of heaven when we are united with Jesus Christ, our head. And that's accomplished through the wonder of his grace, not our abilities. See, evolutionary theory would say it's all up to us to develop. And as we continue to develop, what happens? Oh, good things will happen and blessings will come, because as evolution occurs, better things happen. I haven't seen much good things evolving in too many things, but when God's in control, which he is, all things happen according to his purpose, his eternal covenant, and his kingdom will be established. His purposes in predestination that are declared in Scripture are realized when people are brought into the kingdom of his Son. The revelation of his Son will occur when the gospel goes forth mightily and powerfully, and people's hearts are changed and transformed by the power of the gospel, and his covenant is known, and the gathering of the church occurs when even governments seek to put the church down. What happens when Christ is declared and when the word of God goes forth? The church, even in persecution, is secure because God is in control. And he is in control so much so that this creation will continue to bear the curse that's upon it. But one day the new heavens and the new earth will come in which righteousness will reign forever, and Jesus Christ will come in that glorious hour to bring that about, because God is in control. And that's what Paul is declaring in this passage. And he needs to, as he speaks to the Athenians, he speaks to them about God's purpose, so that despite the sin that's in our lives, they need to know that God's purpose is seeking and saving and bringing about his salvation to those whom he brings into the kingdom of his Son. And that's why he ends in this passage by saying, God, in verse 30, he says, God is commanding all people everywhere to repent. To repent and to turn to Jesus Christ, the giver of life. That's what verse 28 is all about. As some of your poets have said, for we are his offspring. We derive ourselves from him. We belong to him. We are his image bearer. We need to depend on him. We need to move in the strength that he gives us. And all creatures have a responsibility to give honor to their creator, God. That's why Paul says there is this call to judgment. Repent, because the judgment will come. Verse 30 tells us that. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but he commands everyone everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Do you see the gospel in that verse? A man, Jesus Christ. This is the one who will judge the world. The government of the world in righteousness will be brought about not by idolatry, not by altars and abstractions and philosophy, not by governments and power, but will come by the power of a man, Jesus Christ, the Lord. And this one is the one that God has raised from the dead. The proof of God's judgment of the world is raising Jesus Christ from the dead. And with that is the gracious summons to repent and to be saved, to know the power of God, who is sovereign over all things in Jesus Christ. That's why, as believers in Jesus Christ, we have a firm trust in God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is sovereign over all things. He has worked all things out for our salvation. He is the Father of Jesus Christ, our Lord. He upholds all things. He is Lord over all. He is the one that we must acknowledge. He is the one that we must rest in. And through that knowledge, we have patience. We can have patience because we know that God's at work. He's the one that's working all things according to his own will. We should be extremely patient, waiting upon the Lord. And we should give thanks in all things. Thanks in knowing that God is in charge and God will do all things according to his will. And those things will be good for us because our Father in heaven does that which is good for all of his children. And we can be confident in all things because all things come from our Father's hand. Everything that happens comes from the hand of our Heavenly Father. You see, if you want to make sense of the experience of your life, the only way to do it, Paul is telling us, is to know the truth that he is proclaiming. The whole world lies in the hand of God. God's in charge. He's sovereign over all. And that's the message this world needs. The world needs a message of the gospel. The gospel of the power of God. The gospel of salvation in Jesus Christ. Too many Christians are deaf to Christ's commission, telling others about the gospel, tongue-tied about their testimony. They don't care if God's name is profaned. We hear it all the time on television. We see it frequently. But even if we're not listening carefully, even if we're deaf to the commands of Christ, we need to remember this. He's got the whole world in his hands. Remember that. Believe in that. Be strengthened in that knowledge, and through that, tell the world of the power of God in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's the testimony of the scripture, that God is in charge, that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's the message that we must believe and that we must declare. Amen.